welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Van Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here. It is finally game week. Coming up in a few days, we will have the Cowboys and the Eagles to kick off the NFL regular season on Friday, live on YouTube and YouTube television. We will have the Kansas City Chiefs traveling to Brazil to play their division foe, the Los Angeles Chargers. Really happy to be here with you on this wonderful Tuesday. Hopefully you had a great Labor Day weekend. My name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Britton is here taking you up to 5:30 today when we hand things off to the Kansas City Royals. Yes, I know it is a game week for the Kansas City Chiefs, and trust me, we are going to have you covered here on 96.5 The Fan. But we would not be doing our job if we didn't talk about the Royals, who are 2.5 games out of the playoffs. We'll get to that coming up momentarily. We'll also lead things with the Kansas City Chiefs as well. We'll talk a little college football this weekend as well. We got a chance to see the debut of Arch Manning. We saw the debut of Jordan Hudson. I mean, Bill Belichick. There was a lot of things that happened over the last couple of days since you and I have last spoke. The text line is back up and working, 913-586-7965. If you want to say hey on the text line, just because you want me to say hey back, now would be a good time. I must admit, I missed you guys the last couple of days. I don't know what happened, but I had to fill out some legal thing today. You guys know at your job, you got to take those like virtual training montages. I had to learn how to speak to you guys, how I should reply to your text, all of these kind of things. I feel like I've been doing this long enough. I know what I can say and what I shouldn't say to you guys on the text line. But the show, it wouldn't be what it is without you guys. And I don't just say that, but the text line, you guys are a very important member of the show. We don't take a lot of phone calls on this show, but we do read and respond to a lot of your texts. So I am happy that you are back. I'm happy that I'm back. Rob is here. Everybody is excited that football has returned. Again, my name is Carrington. Rob is here. Let's get right into it. Before we do that, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. Number two, I need you to tell one friend to check out the show. Just one friend to check out the show. That's it. That's all I need you to do. And number three, I need you to remember that our open is brought to you by our dear friends over at The Other Place, where you can get yourself a cold drink and some hot pizza to enjoy the games. Really happy that football season is back. This is where I would like to start. There have been a lot of people over the last few months that have picked other teams to win the AFC West. I mean, I could play audio here for you for the next 5 to 10 minutes of this person picks the Broncos, this person picks the Chargers, this person believes that the division has caught back up to the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't have to replay the summer for you guys. You were here. You know what people have been saying about the Chiefs, about the Chargers, about the Broncos. It has been some of the same rhetoric that we have heard, but admittedly, this one feels a little bit different. When you lose the Super Bowl the way that the Chiefs lost the Super Bowl, you're going to take a little bit more arrows than you're used to. So I think that's a little bit par for the course that the Chiefs have had some of these conversations about them. But this is what I think is interesting and where I would like to begin this week as we are looking ahead to Friday's matchup against the Chargers. If you were telling me that this division is better, if you were telling me that now it's the Chargers' turn or now it's the Broncos' turn or now the Raiders are going to potentially win this division, then you have to win on Friday against the Chiefs. Because if there's one thing that I say is definitive about the Kansas City Chiefs and has been over the duration of this dynasty, they have never lost this game. They have never lost the early in the season divisional matchup against the upstart team. If there is anything that the Chiefs have done exceptionally well and have a near flawless and perfect record on, it's keeping teams like the Chargers and the Broncos and the Raiders at bay. They own those teams. They dominate those teams. If you want to convince me that this season is different, that this season is going to play out differently than the last 5, 6, 7 years, we're talking about the Chiefs going on a decade straight in this division. You got the Chiefs at a neutral site. They are a 3-point favorite in this game. Vegas is telling you that it is virtually a coin flip, that it's a 55-45 advantage for the Chiefs in this matchup. We know that the Chiefs and Chargers have played very close, very competitive games over the last half decade or so. If this division is really up for grabs, then this is a game that the Chiefs lose. But if you are like me and you think that we have just changed the caps from red to blue, sure, it's a different coach, it's a different quarterback, it's a different talking point. But the Kings stay the King. Until you show me that these other teams can make Kansas City vulnerable and beat Kansas City in these moments and split games in the division, then it is impossible to pick these other teams in the AFC West. So the Chargers are a good team. They won double-digit games last year. The Broncos, I'd put them in the same boat. They also won double-digit games. I'm not here to tell you that these teams are bad, but I'm telling you, if you plan on knocking off the King, then week one to kick off the season at a neutral site, when you gave up a home game to play Kansas City, that's where you need to do it. I'm picking Kansas City to win. I imagine a lot of you were picking Kansas City to win. The Chargers have given me no reason to pick them to win against the Kansas City Chiefs in this spot. But if you want to make good on a lot of the preseason hype and expectation, this is a game that you need to steal, theoretically, from the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll bounce back and forth for most of the day between the Chiefs and college football, but I also want to talk a little bit of Royals here in the open. This was a good weekend for the Royals. All I want the Royals to do is just be within striking distance. You are not going to seemingly overnight jump the Mariners and now looking at the Texas Rangers that have won 5 games in a row and have now very firmly put themselves in this wild card conversation. There are 3 teams fighting for one spot. The Royals play one of these teams coming up in exactly 2 weeks from today at Kauffman Stadium. All I want the Royals to do is to make that series matters and make it feel like something. I want to see the Royals at home against a team that is directly ahead of them, 1.5 games back, 1 game back, where if you win this series or if you potentially sweep this series, you then can control your own destiny when it comes to making the postseason. That's how I want this thing to end. So the Royals continue to do exactly what they're supposed to do. It's not always pretty, but the Royals continue to be in it and gain ground and give themselves a realistic chance at being able to do this thing and to make the postseason. You got 2 more weeks until we can have their first postseason series. And I know it's the middle of September. That series against the Mariners is going to be a playoff series. It is Texas, it is Seattle, it is the Royals fighting for one spot in the American League wildcard picture, and that can be the determining factor of why you make or miss the postseason. So a great weekend for the Kansas City Royals. We are looking ahead to the Kansas City Chiefs as they have their first game, their first division game coming up on Friday against the Los Angeles Chargers. We got a lot to get into in today's show. Rob, I hope you don't think because it's football season, I hope you don't think that this means that you have been let off the hook. We have one rule on this show, and I don't want you to think just because it's the Tuesday before the Chiefs' first game that we have any different rule. You know the rule. If we start the show talking a little bit of Royals baseball, it can only mean one thing. You know what? Give me a special Red Tuesday edition of
We're Where You Want to Be, Baseball with the Royals.
Carrington, I'm in a good mood. You're in a good mood. Everyone's in a good mood. Who's a bad mood after a holiday weekend? So today's random Royals lineup takes us back to our favorite season, 2003, where ironically the Royals were playing the Texas Rangers. Sadly, on this date in Royals history, they lost 7-8. Here was your Royals lineup. Leading off, the shortstop, the rookie of the year, Angel Baroa.
Let's get it.
Batting second at third base, Joe Randa. Batting third, the designated hitter, Mike Sweeney. Batting fourth, the center fielder, Carlos Beltran. Batting fifth, in right field, Raul Ibanez.
You know how we talk about the Hall of Very Good in football and in other sports? the Royals, they need like a smaller Hall of Fame. Guys who aren't going to be in the George Brett class, but really important Royals for the fabric of the organization. And Raul Ibanez, he needs to be in there. You cannot tell the story of the Royals without including Raul Ibanez.
Batting six, the left fielder, Rondell White.
I like Rondell White.
Batting seventh at first base, Ken Harvey. Batting eighth behind the plate, Mike DeFelice. And batting ninth, the second baseman, Julio Mateos, who I don't remember at all.
I've never heard that man's name a day in my life. I don't even know if that's a real person. You might have made that name up.
By the way, the Royals lost on this date because they got a poor outing from Paul Abbott, who only went 4 1/3, giving up two but walking six. Then Jeremy Offelt came in for an inning and make matters worse by giving up six earned in one inning of baseball. The Royals lost at the ballpark in Arlington on this date in 2003.
Coming up on the other side, we'll get to some of the top stories from the weekend. Rob, what is happening to Kansas State? I mean, you need to put a drive together against North Dakota, not North Dakota State, not South Dakota State. You had to put a drive together against North Dakota to win at home against the Fighting Hawks. We'll get to a little college football. We'll also continue to get you ready for week one of the NFL season. We are just a couple of days away from football starting in the NFL. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into the show. If you just want to simply say hey on the text line, I would encourage you to do it. We haven't had the text line for the last handful of shows. I don't know what happened. One day it was working. The next day it wasn't working. I don't know what was going on with the text line, but now it's back. If you want to send us a message, I'll do my best to reply. Sometimes you guys get mad. It's like it's in the middle of the show. You think I can just be like, wait, hold on. I have to reply to Bill's text. I will do my absolute best to reply to your text, but I got a lot of stuff going on. But if you want to say hello, if you want to ask a question, if you want to tell me you like the show, hate the show, you want to tell me rock chalk because you're excited about losing 31-17 coming up in a couple of days, you can do that. 913-586-7965. Really happy that football season is back here on The Drive. I want to get you guys some numbers before we talk a little bit of college football. And Rob, we might need to do an emergency people's court because I'm looking at one of my coworkers a little suspicious. And we'll talk about it coming up in a bit. So we led the show today talking about all of the conversation this offseason about the AFC West. I mean, I can play for you clip after clip after clip. There are a lot of people that picked the Los Angeles Chargers to win this division. There's a lot of people who picked the Broncos to win this division. Colin Cowherd multiple times has told me that the dynasty is ending, that the Chargers are here, and that the run is over for the Kansas City Chiefs. And you might end up being right. I don't want to come off like there's absolutely no chance that people are not right on this. I doubt it. I don't agree, but it's the NFL. Weird things happen all the time. If you are telling me that this is the year that the Chargers win the division, that this is the year that the Broncos win the division, you cannot pick the Chiefs on Friday. Because step one of breaking the Chiefs' dominance has to be breaking their dominance in the beginning of the season. Andy Reid in his career is 56-15 against teams in the division. Patrick Mahomes has played 40 games against teams in the AFC West. The Chiefs have won 35 of those games. The Chiefs are not just good in the AFC West. I'm talking about their 2008 Kansas basketball good in the AFC West. They are 2013 Alabama football good in the AFC West. If you play 40 games against somebody and you win 35 of those games, it's not realistic to me to come to the conclusion that those other teams are better than you. They got to prove that on the field. I don't care what you did in March. I don't care what you did in April. I don't care what coach you hired. If I beat you 90% of the time, you got to prove it to me. Patrick Mahomes is 19-4 in September as a starter for the Kansas City Chiefs. This might come as a shock to you. I know this is going to blow your mind. The Chiefs are really good because they usually get off to really good starts. They're not playing from behind the eight ball like other teams. The Bengals have been a good team the last handful of years. But when you start off every season 1-3 or 0-2, and now you got a must-win game in week 3, it changes things. The Chiefs usually get off to a hot, fast start, and they have an advantage over Denver, over the Chargers, over the Raiders, where those are the teams that are constantly playing catch-up, and the only way to play catch-up in this scenario is to beat them, and I just gave you the numbers. They don't beat them. So if you're one of the individuals that is picking a alternate team in the AFC West, you are more than allowed to pick whomever you want. The Chargers are good. I think the Broncos are going to be pretty good this year. There's other good teams in this division. You have seen an improvement at coach. You have seen an improvement at quarterback. There's no question about that. But if you are one of these individuals, one of these national media types that is picking or predicting the demise of the Kansas City Chiefs, you cannot be picking them on Friday. You cannot win the division, in my opinion, if you are the Chargers. If you lose a neutral site game to the Kansas City Chiefs, it's not realistic to think that at the end of the season you are going to win more games than them. And you still got a road game in Kansas City to go. It's not realistic to think that you're going to win more games than the Chiefs this season, Rob. That's my conclusion.
It has been A lot of talk this offseason about how the West has caught up to the Chiefs. And I don't think this one game means the West did or didn't. But if this game goes the way those stats indicated, which, by the way, we pulled the stats, Patrick Mahomes is dominant. Andy Reid is a freak against the division. Andy Reid does stuff against the division that is unspeakable. He smokes this division. If you can't, on a neutral field, after being hyped up all offseason, and beat the Chiefs or at least be competitive, then buy your 10-time AFC West championship gear now. Buy your record-setting division title thing today. Get ready for another AFC West banner as the players walk out on the field at Arrowhead. Because if Saturday morning we're hanging out and we're getting ready for KUMU and we said, hey, last night the Chiefs beat the Chargers 34-17, then it's just same old, same old. They are dispensing the division. Now, I will say, if it's a close 28-27 barn burner, we saw a lot of these types of games last year, then I will be open to having the conversation of maybe the West did catch up. But if the Chiefs go down and smack around the Chargers in Brazil, if they just lay the lumber in Sao Paulo, I am not listening to Cowherd or anyone say, oh boy, the AFC West is tight, because it's not.
Rob, hold on. I'm listening to you. You had a hot mic going during the commercial break?
Was that me or you?
It wasn't me. Look at the text line. They said it was you.
Well, I dumped it, so we're good.
Oh, my goodness. You were trying to get us. I always knew you were the ops. We might as well just go ahead and talk about it now. I think Alex Gold is afraid to go to the Missouri game. I'm serious. I mean this in friendly fun. Alex is my guy. I'm a Missouri fan. He's a KU fan. I mean this in love. Alex, last year, had a chance to go to the MUKU basketball game. Now, I know Alex. Alex loves going to sporting events. If you follow Alex on social media, he is always the first one to let you know, got his feet kicked up at the Chiefs game, going to NASCAR. You don't even watch NASCAR. Alex is always down to go to a sporting event. You guys remember we had that little bet last year. All right, well, hey, give me the, I got to see. I don't know. It's okay. All right, man, I get it. I got it. All right, cool. Today, you know, we're doing the little crosstalk segment. Hey, Alex, you going to the game? I'm going to the game. Got my tickets, got everything figured out. Bob, you're going to the game. Got great seats. Rob's going to the game. I'm like, hey, Alex, are you going to the game? I mean, I got extra tickets if you need them. I'm happy to help you out. We're brothers. We work together. We rep the same smart tech. Nah, man, I don't want to go to a sporting event in Columbia. Why not? What are you talking about? It's one of the biggest college football games of the year. I'm offering you tickets. You only got to give me any money for them. I didn't pay for them. Here, you can have them. They're right next to Rob. Right next to me. We can watch the game together. No, man, I just don't want to go, man. I'll, I'll watch it at home. Wait, you're telling me, hold on, you're a diehard KU fan? You're getting offered free tickets to their biggest game of the season, and now you're nowhere in action? This is the thing that I think we always forget in those, like, fight videos and all of this kind of stuff. If you just simply watch the game and cheer for your team, 99.9% of times, you are not going to have any problems. A majority of the people that go to sporting events are like me, and I imagine many of you. You know what I'm there to do? I'm there to have a good time. I'm there to cheer on my team, and I'm there to leave and get home safely. I did not sign up to be in a UFC fight with any of you. If you ever see me go viral for being at a sporting event, something went wrong, because I'm not trying to go viral. I'm trying to watch the game. I'm trying to have a good time with my family, my friends, and I'm just trying to go home. If you end up on those fight videos more time than not, I think you are probably the problem. You've been yapping, you've been doing something, and it's been weighing on people, and now your team got the beats, and now I got to give you the beats. I think Alex is afraid to go to the game. I don't know why Alex is afraid to go to the game. You guys have to ask him tomorrow. I don't know what it is. He wouldn't really give me a good answer. He seemed very evasive when I asked him the question. Why are you not going to the game? Like, all of us are going to the game. There's three people here that are diehard Missouri or KU fans. Two of us are going to the game. Alex, why are you not coming? I'll give you the tickets. What are you talking about? I'll give you the parking pass. All you got to do is drive. No, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't really want to go to... Okay. It sounds to me like you're scared. And that's okay if you're afraid. I get it. I mean, you're worried they're going to lose, and you don't want to be walking in Columbia with the Jayhawk hoodie on after your team caught another L. I understand that. I mean, we already beat you in basketball. We're about to beat you in football. How many lessons are you trying to learn? What else do you want to play? Women's basketball? That's coming up at Sprint Center 2. I imagine you guys will also lose in that. You guys want to play volleyball? Missouri is ranked top 15 in volleyball. You'll lose in that also. I just got a sense that there was a lot of fear, man. That's what I got. I got a sense that there was a lot of fear from your guy, Alex Gold.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know what he's scared of. I'm going to the game. Now, I will say, my wife has already warned me. No trash talk. You can sit, mind your business, watch the football
game. That's it. Watch the game. That's all you gotta do. Watch the game.
I told you that's totally fair. I'm gonna walk around Columbia. I'm gonna go out. I'm gonna hit some tailgates up. If you have a tailgate on Saturday, you want me to swing by, feel free to tweet me, text me, whatever. I will come by. I'll say hello. I'm looking forward to a weekend in Columbia. I've talked to Missouri fans. I've talked to you as a Missouri fan. I've learned about the places to go. You gotta go to something called Heidelberg. You gotta go to Shakespeare's. What's the place? Trops. I'm going to experience a full weekend of Columbia, and I'm excited for the game. KU is a 6.5-point dog. The Vegas odds are telling you they're probably going to lose. But this rivalry is back for the first time, what, 12 years, 13 years? I was not missing this game. And you're right. I'm not going to be on, was it World Star? That's not a thing in my life on Monday.
I don't want to be on TikTok after the game.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit there, I'm going to have a few beers, have some concessions, hang out with my wife, watch KU-MU, hope that KU pulls the upset and gets it done, and then I'm going to walk around Columbia and have a nice night out. I don't plan on talking to other people about the game. I don't plan on chirping with other people. As long as I mind my business, I feel like I'm good. And you know what? I've been to road games before. I went to Bramlage when Jacob Pullen lost to Sherron Collins. I didn't say nothing that day. I had a very pleasant time in Aggieville. I feel like if people are just polite and enjoy the sports, everyone's happy. Now, I will say this. I'm going to go get popcorn when Mr. Brightside comes on. I'm going to avoid that like the plague.
I can't wait to sing it for you.
That's the part that I'm going to avoid. But outside of that, I think I'm good. So I don't know why Gold's scared.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand. He obviously has no problem traveling. You're telling me that you'd rather go watch minor league baseball game than go watch this game? Because he ain't got no problem hopping in the car and going down to Northwest Arkansas to watch Bobby Witt Jr. play baseball. He ain't got no problem driving to Omaha to watch Jack Caglione. CDOT, Alex said that you're a closet KU fan. He says that you're in Lawrence more than Columbia. I know one thing I'm not. I'm not afraid to wear my team's colors in their building. Can you say that about Alex Gold? Because I will proudly wear Missouri apparel next year when they're inside the booth. I bet you he's at that game.
You wore Mizzou gear out inside of Allen the first game back, which... they had no chance in that game, and you wore Tiger gear proudly.
Thank you. That's how we get down on this show. So you guys pass this message to my dear friend. It's just a little friendly trash talk as we get ready for the game. But I do. I think Alex is afraid. I do. I think he's a little bit shook. He'll go next year when it's at the booth. I can't wait to say M-I-Z right there in front of David Booth. I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm so thrilled about it. When's the last time y'all beat Missouri in something? It's been a while. It's been a while since you guys got the best
baseball,
of Missouri in something.
Baseball last year? Well, I smoked him in a three-game series.
Nobody counts. That don't count.
That doesn't count?
You count that?
Didn't they beat him in women's basketball last year, too?
No, I don't remember
that. The women's basketball program in Columbia is trash.
I don't remember that.
And then, like, what, 2 years ago, basketball? Smoked him.
Okay.
Allen.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. Okay, let's move on.
You asked the question.
Okay, let's move on.
You want to pull all the stats?
Can we move on? I want to talk about the Chiefs. We'll get to college coming up in a bit. Andy Reid met with the media earlier today. Here he is talking about the status of Hollywood Brown.
Look good out there. Run around and, you know, he's getting the game and play. So, but he's, as far as practice goes, he's done everything.
I don't know if Andy can sound more excited about a player than he just sounded about Hollywood. That's really his excited voice. When Andy starts talking like that, he's telling you that Hollywood's about to have 6 catches for 92 yards and 3 touchdowns. That's what he's telling you. When he starts talking in that raspy short, I mean, he's good. I mean, he's practiced all. When he starts talking like that, be prepared. That's what I would tell you. Hollywood Brown also met with the media, which is a really good thing because injured players can't talk to the media. So the fact that he met with the media tells me that he's good, he's healthy, he's ready to play. Yes, that's what I wanted to hear. Here's Hollywood Brown talking about the extra pressure to step up with no Rice on Friday.
Not really. I mean, we know what we could do. You know, when guys go down, it's next man up. When I went down, it's next man up. And that's our mentality throughout the whole team. So for us, it's just doing what we do.
I genuinely feel like Hollywood Brown is the X factor for the Chiefs offense in these first handful of games with no Rashee Rice. The Chiefs have made it a point this offseason to really stress how they want to get back the explosiveness in their offense. The Chiefs last year were ranked 17th in points scored. If you look at some of the advanced numbers, the Chiefs had a very low-risk, dink-and-dunk, safe, predictable offense. The Chiefs really didn't challenge teams down the field. Now, I think some of that is twofold. I think Mahomes' accuracy was bad down the field. We can come up with our own conclusions on why that is, whether it was the offensive line, whether it was some accuracy issues. I remember Xavier Worthy couldn't find the sideline early on. There were a lot of things that contributed to the Chiefs' kind of missed connections down the field. Another thing was injuries. They didn't really have the personnel to really challenge teams down the field. They had one home run threat, and that's Xavier Worthy. With his speed, with his route running ability, you had one guy that you thought could get you an extra base hit, for the analogy. You now believe you got two of those guys. This is a really important season for Hollywood Brown. Long live Terrez Paylor, but you guys remember, he used to say the contract year is undefeated. I mean, we're talking about a guy who has never really gotten that second big payday. We hear all the time how NFL players talk about that second deal and how it sets you up. We've also seen that in Kansas City's offense, if you can stay healthy and put it together for 1 year, you can get paid. I know it feels like a long time ago, but it really wasn't that long ago. Juju Smith-Schuster had 900 yards in the Chiefs offense. All it takes is one team. He got a good payday from the New England Patriots, and it's never really been the same. That's all you got to do if you're Hollywood. You got to put one good season together. And I'm not talking about a Pro Bowl 1,100-yard season. No, can you have 50 catches for 850 yards and 6 touchdowns? If you put that kind of season and you're a home run threat for Kansas City and their offense, you'll get better than a one-year deal next season when you hit free agency. Maybe you get that from Kansas City. Maybe you get that from another team. Let's see how the season plays itself out. But I feel like Hollywood is their X factor on offense. If this offense is going to hit a ceiling in the first early part of the season, as Jalen Royals is a little bit banged up right now, who knows what the offensive line is going to look like on that left side? It remains to be seen until we actually get game to really break it down. It's Hollywood. It's kind of go time for him. He's 28 years old. This is his third team. It's kind of go time if you're Hollywood. So, Rob, I'm looking at him as being an X factor. He should feel pressure to step up with no Rashee Rice. you performing really well in this offense and you being a legitimate one or two for the first handful of games can really, really help you down the line when your contract is up and you're either trying to renegotiate with the Chiefs or are potentially going elsewhere.
You're calling him an X factor. I'll go a step further. He might be the most important until Rashee Rice gets back. He might be the most important player on the Chiefs offense because we know we've talked ad nauseum about Rashee Rice suspension. We know that first 6 weeks is difficult for the Chiefs. They have the Chargers in Sao Paulo. We know that this week. They then play the Eagles. They have the Ravens. Like, it is a difficult stretch to navigate starting the season without Rashee Rice. And you said it perfectly. There has been a lot of noise, a lot of buzz, a lot of hope, a lot of everything about the offense getting explosive again. But you know what? If Hollywood Brown is Marquise, because the Texans doesn't want to call him Hollywood, and the offense is Dink and Dunk and Alex Smithian in the first 6 weeks, the person to blame is not going to be Travis Kelce, who I think expectations are in line for. People are not going to be blaming Xavier Worthy. We know they're not blaming the quarterback. Maybe they'll blame the offensive line. But for me, the blame is going to fall on Hollywood Brown. The Chiefs' offense is trying to rebuild the Legion of Zoom. They had Hill, and they had Watkins, and they had McColl, and they had speed, speed, speed. And we heard in the offseason, hey, they're getting back to it. They're running it back. They're going to have speed, speed, speed. Xavier, Rashee, and Hollywood Brown. Hollywood Brown's being asked to step up. He can't be a no-show. He can't be a, hey, he had a nice 550-yard season. Uh-uh. He's got to have a good season. This offense has to be explosive. I don't care about Rashee Rice being out. They have talked too often about being explosive. They need to go do it. And if they fall short of it, I'm not going to make excuses about Rice being out. I'm going to say Hollywood Brown is not living up to expectations because he's gotten two deals in Kansas City, two opportunities to shine. And if he fails in his first 6 weeks, fails is made extreme. But if he falls short, I'm not going to pass the buck and be like, well, it's someone else's fault. It falls on him.
I want to play this audio for you guys because I'm very conflicted. There are some people that when they give an opinion about certain things, you would never argue with their opinion. You know, if you were listening to Steve Ballmer talk business or tech, you would never be like, oh, that's wrong. Like, you got to be real crazy to listen to Warren Buffett talk about investing and he says something. You're like, I don't think you know what you're talking about. So I really try to walk that fine line. Like, I want to pay respects to the legends. I want to pay respects to the OGs. That's why it pains me to disagree with Joe Montana about quarterbacks. He was asked, give me your three quarterbacks to start a franchise with. Listen to Joe Montana.
I'm taking the guy in Buffalo.
Okay, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
All right. Josh. The guy that surprised me that I thought would... Obviously, Joe Burrow's another guy I like a lot.
Okay.
Believe it or not, I like the guy in the with the Chargers. Herbert. I think they just kind of gone by the wayside there. But I don't know. I just like the way those three guys are.
BA, how do you feel about his talk?
I do also like the guy in Philly, though.
Jalen Hurts, okay. Won a Super Bowl. We do like him. Brock Purdy, obviously, number one. He was left out.
Right.
Josh Allen, yeah. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, and Jalen Hurts is his Mount Rushmore outside of Brock Purdy. BA, did you expect that from Joe Montana?
I thought he might have thrown Patrick Mahomes in there, but, you know, I think it states how.
Well, I think I would have if he was younger.
Okay. All right. I mean, everybody is entitled to their own opinion, right? Like, I'm not going to disrespect Joe Montana. People on the text line, Joe Montana's a hater. Somebody else telling Joe Montana to get out of here, you're irrelevant. I ain't talking bad about Joe Montana. He's one of the five greatest quarterbacks of all time, one of the greatest players to ever play in the NFL before Tom Brady. If you asked people who's the greatest quarterback that we've ever seen, a lot of people would have told you that it's Joe Montana. So how can I disrespect his quarterback opinion? That man said Justin Herbert? He couldn't have said that. No, no chance. He didn't say that. I don't care what the age difference is between Mahomes and Justin Herbert. If you would take Herbert over Mahomes, you're crazy. And I say that with the utmost respect. You're Joe Montana. That man said Justin Herbert? Okay. Hey, respect, Joe. That's what I'm here to tell you, man. I got nothing but respect. I do. I'm serious. I got nothing but respect for you, Joe Montana. Coming up on the other side, let's talk about Arch Manning. Boy, Saturday did not go how we thought it was going to go. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I was talking to the boss earlier, and he was like, nobody wants to talk about college football. That was over the weekend. I'm sorry. I can't help it. We spent all this time watching the games, and we just can't talk about it? No, we're talking about it on The Drive. We'll get back to the Chiefs coming up at the top of the hour. Somebody said something very interesting on the text line, and we will save that and talk about it at 3 o'clock. What we did to Arch was criminal. And I say we because all of us are guilty. Paul Feinbaum said that he was the best college prospect since Tim Tebow. Just last week, people were theorizing that the reason that the Cowboys traded Micah Parsons was to have additional first-round picks so they could move up and go get Arch Manning. Everybody is guilty in what we did to Arch Manning over the summer. Me, you, the media, EA Sports, everybody is guilty for what happened. You know what I saw when I watched Arch Manning play on Saturday? I saw a kid who hasn't played a whole lot of football lately. Football is different than any other game we talk about. You can simulate playing basketball. Maybe not NBA level, but you can get guys together and you guys can go have really competitive runs. You can go play in the Drew League. Really high level, competitive, get you ready for the speed, physicality of what you're about to see. In baseball, simulated games, you can go down to AAA. Now, granted, it's different than the majors, but you understand the point that I'm making. That's not how football works. The only way that you can get better at football is to actually go play. And we can talk about the value of sitting and learning and watching film. None of that has anything to do with this 300-pound guy just hits you in the ribs. And now you got to get back up and repeat process. Arch Manning, heading into Saturday's game, he had thrown 95 passes in his college football career. 60 of them came against Louisiana Monroe and Mississippi State. That's not getting you ready for going on the road to the horseshoe. Before Saturday, Arch Manning had never thrown a pass on the road. It's really difficult when you haven't been playing a lot of football. You don't have a lot of game experience. And now we're going to drop you into a monsoon. And I don't mean like a monsoon from a weather. I mean, it was everything on Saturday. Big Noon is there. College Game Day is there. It's Lee Corso's last day. Ohio State, it's their season opener. They also won the national championship and all the pageantry that comes with your first home game since then. It was a lot. And you know what Arch looked like? He looked like a 19-year-old. He looked like a 20-year-old who hadn't played a lot of football. This is the thing that really stood out to me the most when watching Arch play. That third down, their final drive of the game, if you guys remember, Texas was actually kind of putting a drive together. They started deep in their own end zone or in the shadow of their end zone. They're moving the ball down the field, and you're thinking, all right, hey, Arch is going to give them a chance to win this. It's third down. Ryan Wingo is wide open over the middle of the field. That is a pass. I don't care if you're an NFL prospect, starting quarterback in college football. I don't care if you play quarterback for Lee Summit North. You have to complete that pass. He is running right in front of you, wide open. Arch Manning throws it 105 miles an hour behind Ryan Wingo, and in my opinion, that's when the game was over. The thing that surprised me the most with Arch is he didn't take any of the money on the table. I'm not here to take away any credit from Ohio State's defense. They were great. It was a lot of underneath stuff, crossing routes, timing routes, and Arch, he couldn't hit anybody. He had the accuracy of your girlfriend at Topgolf, just spraying every. It was bad. It was really, really bad on Saturday. I'm not here to judge Arch Manning off one game. I'm not here to tell you he's trash or any of those things. I am here to tell you two things. Let's stop all the future conversations with Arch. I don't want to have any conversation with Arch about him being an NFL prospect. Because that kid that I just watched on Saturday and watched every snap of that game, he ain't ready for nobody's NFL. I'm also here to tell you, let's end the Heisman conversation. If you bet on Arch Manning to win the Heisman Trophy, throw your ticket away. There's no chance that at the end of the season, that guy's the best player in college football. There's a 0% chance. He might end up being a good quarterback. There's no way we think he's the best player in college football in 3 months. I refuse to believe it from where the starting point is for him. But I'm willing to be open to this thing. They got 3 cupcakes coming up. I mean, bakery. They got 3 of them. And then they go on the road and play Florida here in a couple of weeks. A team that's got a chance to make the college football playoff. A team that also has a very talented young quarterback that could be an NFL prospect. Let's see what Texas and let's see what Arch looks like coming up in a month. So we don't need to spend a whole lot of time talking about Arch. I'm not super interested in Arch right now. Right now, he's the 7th best quarterback in the SEC. That guy ain't interesting to talk about. So let's just see how the next month goes, and then we'll come back in a month when they play Florida on the road in the swamp against a ranked opponent, and then we can evaluate where Arch is. But no more of this tank for Arch or number 1 overall pick. Stop it. That kid was not an NFL prospect on Saturday. Saturday actually was very telling. It was the funeral for Alabama. That's what it was. It was the funeral for Alabama. They've lost 3 of their last 4 games, and it was just the how. So some of you that are not big college football fans, maybe you don't remember this, but the quarterback at Florida State had his media availability, the ACC Media Day. They asked him about the game against Alabama, and he said, Nick Saban can't save them. They asked the Alabama players about it because, of course, you got to ask them. And their response was, disrespect will be later addressed. Disrespect will not be tolerated. Alabama ran the ball 29 times for 87 yards. Florida State ran the ball 39 times for 246 yards and 4 touchdowns. You accepted their disrespect. It's over. It's over for Alabama being one of those programs. Can they win 9 games this year? Sure, they can. They can win 9 games this year. Absolutely. But in 2 weeks, they go on the road and play Georgia. Is anybody picking Alabama to go on the road and beat Georgia? I'm not picking that. They have a stretch there of 5 games where they play on the road against Missouri, Tennessee, LSU, at South Carolina. No, they're not going undefeated in that stretch. I think the floor right now for Alabama is 3 losses. It might be 5. I don't know if Kalen DeBoer is going to work there. That place is different. If you've been eating at 5-star restaurants for the last 15 years, and you've been eating, I mean, the nicest, most beautiful restaurants in America. You've been eating at some places the average person doesn't even know about. It's just you and your wife, and the chef is right there giving you an exclusive tasting menu. That's how Alabama fans have been treated for the last 15, 20 years. They have been the standard. Almost everything in football, whether it's college or NFL, traces back to Alabama in some capacity. The Super Bowl MVP, where'd he start his college football career? Think about quarterbacks, running backs. Most of the players that we talk about, debate, discuss, they have been affected by Alabama in some capacity. They have been the gold standard in football for 20 years. They had a playoff berth on the line last year to the worst Oklahoma team in 15 years. They got beat 24-3. They lost a bowl game to a very average Michigan team. They just got pummeled by a team that went 2-10 last year. 2-10! Florida State was able to retool in the portal in one offseason enough to dominate Alabama. They were never in it the final 30 minutes of the game. Got completely manhandled. It's over. I'm telling you, it's over for them being that. They're now Southern Wisconsin. That's who they are. They are Southern Iowa. Iowa's good. They're a good program. Iowa wins 8 games. They're great. When you've been eating filet mignon and A1 Wagyu beef, man, it's hard to go back to eating an Outback. It's hard to go back to eating Applebee's, and that's where Alabama is right now. They are at Texas Roadhouse, which is a good meal for your family. Not when you've been eating Kobe beef for the last 20 years. Coming up at the top of the hour, someone on the text line says something very interesting about the Chiefs wide receiver room. I want to talk to you guys about it. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.